And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today you're going to be hearing things that you will not hear anywhere else, but thank God he's been so good to me and revealing some almost awesome news to you. I think we're going to have the first presidential debate between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama October the 22nd. But of course, there may be a little heat there at that debate, but I doubt if there's going to be much light. Well, today we're going to have an explosion of light. And I don't like to use the term implying there's anything to have anything to do with the Illuminati, but I believe you're going to be, let's just say, illumined by today's discussions. And, you know, I think they are discussions because, well, you're a member of our family here at Power of Prophecy. And so many of you write to me and express to me that that's the way you feel. We're all a family. You know, Power of Prophecy Ministry was originally called Living Truth Ministries, but by whatever name, we've been here now over a quarter of a century. People are amazed by that. Many ministries have folded by the wayside. They run out of money or this or that, or they get involved in moral scandals and the leaders fall to some kind of immorality or debauchery or financial embezzlement or whatever. Well, first of all, you've never had to worry about that with Tex Mars because Wanda would put me in a pit and the pendulum sword would be swinging, coming down on me if I ever cheated on her. And why would I? It's wrong. It's bad. It's stupid. And I've got the best wife in the world. Now, I know you may think you have the best wife in the world, dear male friend, and that's okay. If you don't think that, well, I think you're a weakling as a man, because I think that about my wife, and I'm not going to cheat on her because that's the way I feel about it. And so that's not been a problem. Drugs, I've never smoked marijuana. I don't get drunk. I don't take any kind of a drugs. In fact, I've been finding, is that Jerry's over here in the broadcast. He's got all those buttons and things, or levers, whatever he pulls to make sure my voice stays steady or whatever. You know, I've never really wanted to take drugs. I think it's pretty ignorant of people. And I've noticed, you know, I've had incredible back problems, you know, the sciatic nerves and slipped disc and herniated disc and all kinds of terrific pain. But when you start taking those painkillers, it messes with your head. It messes with your body. I mean, I think I'd just rather be there in pain and let God handle it, you know, over time. And he is, of course, a great healer. So I don't even take, you know, I take very few pain medications or, well, anything like that. I just quit taking them. Nowadays, if I take an Advil, you know, ibuprofen or aspirin or whatever, you know, it bothers my kidneys or my liver. Some other part of the body starts acting up. So I just sort of stay away from all that stuff. I do take high blood pressure pills. And I know some good Christian friends write to me and say, don't take those texts. Here are the health alternatives. And usually they're right. That's one of the things I have. I have physicians. Now, they may not have medical degrees, but out in radio land and our news people who get the newsletter, they nevertheless are natural physicians, and they've studied herbs and vitamins, and they write me letters. They keep me going. And you say that's not valuable. Well, it is valuable. My wife has had cancer, what, 3 times? She's still here. And I believe it's because of these natural substances that God has given us. But listen, I don't want to talk about that today. I'm just trying to tell you that I thank God he has given me a clear head. I don't need that medication. I don't need all that junk, okay? I'm not interested in drinking, you know, vodka and whiskey and all the stuff that makes your head go bananas. I like to think. I like to think clearly. I don't want to be running around in a fog. So all of those things have kept me straight. You know, God has just taken away any desire for me to do those things. Doesn't mean I'm goody-goody or anything else, you know. In fact, Wanda says I need to lose some pounds. Yeah, she's been beating on me there, you know, sweetly, of course, with words. Say, Tex, I love you, and I don't want to lose you, so you need to lose some weight. Okay, all right, Wanda. You know, these women, you know, they're so, you know, they have their ways, Jerry. We cannot avoid the ways of the women. You know, they're powerful. Don't ever think they're not. They're just so powerful. And I'm just putty in Wanda's hands. I can't help it. It's just absolutely, I'm embarrassed. I'm totally, it's shameful. But, all right, let's go into something more important than my being putty in Wanda. Hey, Jerry, he's over there laughing, but he knows. I know about him and Leslie. Yeah, he's putty in her hands. Yeah, his wife, Leslie. She's got him right where she wants him. He does whatever she asks. Hey, I heard, Jerry, that barn you got out in your place. Jerry built a barn here a couple of weeks ago, and his wife, Leslie, wanted it painted red. Now, all the neighbors got upset, you know. But I like, you know, red barn sounds exciting. That's what they used to have in the old days, right? You know, everybody had a red barn. Well, Jerry got, you know, did what his wife wanted. He tried to please Leslie. She's a real sweetheart, and he knows it. So he goes out and gets red paint, paints his barn red. Now all the neighbors are saying it's a real eyesore. They're complaining about Jerry and Leslie's red barn. I like that. That's sort of funny, isn't it? Well, are you, hey, Jerry, you going to paint it? Or are you going to repaint it like brown or? Oh, yeah. He says he's going to paint the house to match. Oh, no, boy. Oh, man, your neighbors are really going to be upset. Okay. He's going to have a red house and a red barn. And next thing, he'll have a red pickup truck to ride to work in and back. And it'll be his wife will wear red dresses. I don't know. It's going to be a scandal. All right. Now, I want to talk to you about America's future. And I want to reveal some things that have not been revealed before. I want to specifically talk to you about Mitt Romney. You know, I did a whole video, Rothschild's Choice, about Barack Obama. That is just as timely today as it was, you know, when it first came out. And I've offered a number of books and audio tapes about Barack Obama. We have those available for you, the truth about Barack Obama and his background and such. They keep putting out videos and audio tapes and books about Barack Obama. The best is Rothschild's Choice, my video. Exposing Barack Obama, who is his true father? What about his mother, her CIA and Ford Foundation connections, all kinds of things in my video, and who sponsored him. But I want you to understand something. There has come a great divide in this political campaign. Now, it's not between political philosophies, because regardless of what these two people say, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, they both are in the pocket of the Wall Street bankers, okay? Up to now, they have been so. So, I mean, if you say, oh, Mitt Romney will get rid of Obamacare, he will cut our taxes, he will... No, he won't, okay? Get that out of your mind. The guy's a big super liberal. He's not going to do anything conservative. If you didn't do so, well, you should have voted in the primaries for Ron Paul. It's too late now. We got Mitt Romney. That's what the country club Republicans want, and you wait and see. Paul Ryan, for example, the guy, congressman who's running for vice president under Mitt Romney's mentorship, actually in April of 2009, he introduced legislation, listen to this, requiring if it had passed, and he still wants it passed, Paul Ryan introduced legislation to require all Americans to pay an 8.5% consumption tax on everything they buy and sell, even at the wholesale level, even, you know, raw products and parts. So that's like the value-added tax over in Europe. Now, this is on top of our income tax on our 1040. I want you to think about that. So in addition to your state sales tax when you buy something, you'll pay at the cash register 8.5% more for a federal sales tax. That's what Paul Ryan wants. He says he wants to cut taxes. He's a liar. They're all liars, these politicians. You know, I've studied a lot about psychopaths and psychopathy. And frankly, the experts now believe that about one in every 20 Americans is a psychopath. They're not all serial killers like Ted Bundy or a nut like Charles Manson. But they have their own ways to do evil. They're psychopaths. And when I read that statistic, it seemed a little bit over the top, but I believe it from what I've seen in people. One in 20 are psychopaths, about 5%. So every 20th person you see on the street is a psycho. Watch out. But among politicians, I think over 50% are psychopaths. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Green Party, I don't care what it is. They're psychopaths, dangerous people. Mitt Romney is definitely a psychopath, and so is Barack Obama. But it seems that Mitt Romney is even more so. Now, some people say, but he's conservative. No, he's not. Well, he's a businessman, and so what? You remember John D. Rockefeller, when he owned half of the world's oil supply, Rothschild owned the other half. He was angry one day. People wanted to know why he was so angry. Mr. Rockefeller said, well, I hate competition, and I've got too much competition in the oil business, driving down the price of oil. You know, competition drove the price of oil. In 1910, it was only 10 cents a barrel. 10 cents a barrel for oil. Now, as you know, you and I know, it's about $100 a barrel now. 10 cents a barrel. Rockefeller said, I can't make enough money this way. Of course, he was living in absolute opulence, luxurious surroundings, one of the richest men in the world. But he wanted more money. So he began to drive out of business all the competitors, the little oil companies, wildcatters that had sprung up. He said competition, and I'm going to quote him one time, competition is a sin. How could the world's greatest capitalist say competition is a sin? He didn't want to compete. He wanted a monopoly, a cartel. That's what Mitt Romney's all about. His Bain Capital specialized in cartels, in assisting the global money mafia. Yes, it did. And today, the chairman of the board of Bain, whom Mitt Romney worked for, is now Orit Gadish, the third-ranking officer in the Israeli Mossad. Think about that. And, of course, Israel is the granddaddy home of all the mafiateers, let's just call them. You remember Meir Lansky, the Jewish gangster and the mafia leader in the United States? They got him on tax evasion, and he immediately ran for cover. Where? To Israel. People would talk about him and his girlfriend, or plural, girlfriends, in their bikinis, lounging around the beaches near Tel Aviv and Haifa. There he was, Meir Lansky, wanted for tax evasion in America, one of the world's greatest gangsters. You see, murderers, grafters, even petty burglars, when they're caught, get on an airplane, head for Israel. There's no extradition treaty. Israel offers to shield and cover all of the gangsters of the world, as long as they're of the right bloodline. They have a matriarchal line, bloodline as a Jew. Even Solomon Morel, the butcher of Poland, who massacred thousands of innocent people in the Jewish-run concentration camps after World War II, even he is still hiding out in Israel. Now, I know you've never heard of Jewish-run concentration camps back in the late 40s and 50s, but I'm here to tell you they existed. Oh, yes, they existed. Solomon Morel was the commandant of one, and he bashed the head of many a baby and beat many innocent Gentile men and women over the head until they bled to death with billy clubs. That was Solomon Shlomo, they call him, Morel. He's hiding out in Israel. Mitt Romney, of course, founded Bain Capital with all of these Jewish thug pals of his. That's what Bain Capital is all about. Looking at a Washington article here. Actually, it's Dateline Washington. It came out of the Telegraph, one of the major newspapers over in London, England. It says Robert Maxwell and Jack Lyons, two of the most notorious figures in corporate history. They're both Jews, of course. Both of them, by the way, both Maxwell and Lyons, real biggies in the Mossad, helped Mitt Romney build his $250 million fortune. It can now be disclosed. Mitt Romney fortune, says the London newspapers, built with help from Robert Maxwell and Jack Lyons. Maxwell was the late owner of the Mirror newspapers. He invested millions of dollars in Romney's Bain Capital Fund to launch Romney's career in finance. But at the same time, Romney was brought into Bain & Company by another Jewish billionaire named Jack Lyons. Now, who's Jack Lyons? Well, he was one of the Guinness Four who were convicted in 1990 in an infamous share trading fraud. Seems that Lyons and his family invested about $3 million in Romney's fledgling new fund, Bain. Isn't that interesting? The media won't tell you about this, folks. By the way, this guy Maxwell owned a number of newspapers and television stations and such in the United States. These Jewish titans love to control the media. But evidently he ran into a little buzzsaw of his own. You know, there's no honor among thieves, and even the Jews fight for capital among each other. They fight for territory, just like the mafia did. They slay each other. And so one day, Robert Maxwell, the owner of one of the biggest newspaper firms in the world, including, I believe it was, the New York Post newspaper, was found floating in the Atlantic Ocean. Sharks all around him in the water. Bits of his body eaten off by the sharks. But some said that he took some pill or something and accidentally fell overboard off of his yacht. But when they got him back and the coroner was able to take a look at him back on land, his body was covered with bruises. He'd been beaten up horribly and only then thrown in the water so the sharks could eat him. But the sharks didn't get him in time and somebody found him there floating in the water. Mr. Maxwell was brought to Israel. Everybody thought he was a British citizen, and he was. But he really had no love for his home country of Britain. And so, as was arranged by the government of Israel beforehand, Mr. Maxwell's body was taken to Israel, where it was buried in a Jewish funeral. The Prime Minister of Israel was on hand. And so was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was at the funeral of Mr. Maxwell. And all of these people are still today the friends of Mitt Romney. And, of course, one of his biggest backers is the casino mogul, the tycoon Stuart Adelson. They say he's given over $100 million so far to Mitt Romney. He's the guy that also gave millions to Newt Gingrich. But now Romney's his man. The Jews are piling money into Romney's campaign. Now, recently, somebody made a secret video with their video cam of a meeting down in Florida where Mitt Romney met with a small group of Jewish billionaires. Now, the media didn't tell you they're Jewish, and there again is the value of listening in here at Power Prophecy. But their very thick Hebrew and Yiddish accents revealed, in fact, that they were a bunch of Florida Jews. And all they really wanted to know from Mitt Romney was, what about Israel? What are you going to do about Israel? Now, the only thing that came out in the press about this meeting, when this secret video recording was published, was how Romney mentioned that a good 47% of the electorate loved to get welfare and entitlement payments and so forth from the government. So they were in hock to the Democratic Party, and he basically has written off 47% of the electorate. Well, that made all the news. But there was another little item mentioned by Romney, because he talked about his good friend Bibi Netanyahu, the madman of Israel, the prime minister there today, the guy that wants us to go bombing, you know, every rogue country in the world, rogue according to his prescription. And he's the guy that's lying over and over saying that Iran has nuclear weapons and wants America to go bomb them. Now, we did it in Iraq and Afghanistan for Netanyahu, but now he wants more American blood and more oil money for Israel, of course. And Romney at that meeting is heard telling these people, my good friend Bibi over in Israel, Netanyahu in other words, is helping me with my political campaign here in America. His secret organization is working with me in staging some events. You'll hear more about them in the coming weeks. But he said, I trust that I will win this election thanks to the help of my good friend Bibi. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. The Netanyahu organization is helping Mitt Romney in his campaign for president of the United States? Whoa! What organization might that be? Do I hear the word spelled Mossad? The Israeli spy organization whose motto is by way of deception. Do I also hear the two words Shin Bet? The secret police, sort of the equivalent of the KGB in Israel. Of course, these organizations are patterned after the Communist Party's KGB and other spy agencies of the Soviet Union. Since the first prime minister of Israel was David Ben-Gurion, the buffoon who was a communist and an admirer of Marxist-Leninist policies. Israel is a communist country. And by the way, they've already got something like Obamacare over there. Are you a woman? Are you a slut? What happens if you get pregnant over in Israel? No problem. They'll give you an abortion at a state-run hospital. It's socialist medicine over there. Think about that. Every Israeli, now not the Palestinians, not Christian Israelis, but if you're a Jew, you're an Israeli, you get free medical care in Israel, free abortions. There's only one other country in the world that has more abortions per capita than Israel. Hey, folks, Israel is a wicked, wicked place. You'll have to get my video, Cauldron of Abaddon, that proves my point. By the way, Israel proudly has the motto, proudly, the Minister of Tourism, the head of the tourism department in Israel, inviting people around the world to come visit Israel. Yeah, I'm just dying to go. Myself says our motto is that we are the gay capital of the world. Homosexuals go there and have a huge gay pride parade 2 or 3 times a year. This year they had the largest gay pride parade in the whole world in the streets of Tel Aviv. So when somebody says, let's go visit the Holy Land, scratch your head, would you? Or maybe beat them over the head. It's no Holy Land. It's the gay capital of the world. There's more gambling, more prostitution, more everything bad, more murders than any city in America. Friend, you're safer walking in the black ghettos of Cleveland and Detroit in America than walking in Old Town Jerusalem. Where if the Jews find out you're a Christian, believe me, you'll be left for dead with your pocketbook missing down one of those little alleyways. Oh, yeah. After they've spit all over your half-dead body, they hate Christians visiting the old city of Jerusalem. You better make sure you're in a big group with a tour guide or you will be a sucker and a victim. That's how much they love Americans and Christians over in Israel. Mitt Romney, of course, recently went to Israel. Now think of it. Right in the midst of a campaign for president, he takes time to go over and spend days with the Israelis. It's very important, though. I understand they had their normal monthly Masonic meeting down in Zedekiah's cave under the Temple Mount. And there he met with his Masonic brothers, yes, Mitt Romney and Netanyahu are both Masonic brothers. They were both initiated into one of the Boston chapters of Freemasonry when they were students. Mitt Romney, of course, because his father was a a billionaire was taken in at Harvard. That's how you get in Harvard University. You're either Jewish and rich, or you're Gentile and super rich. That's the way you get in. Okay? And by the way, I'm going to talk about it a little bit in just a moment here. You have to understand that Mormonism, the Church of Mormon, they call themselves, you know, the Latter-day Saints Church, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But believe me, it's another Jesus and another gospel that the Mormons practice. But Mormonism, the Church of Mormon, is a Judaic cult. Their official doctrine actually says we are two of the tribes of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh. Wow. They're of the tribes of Israel. Of course, that's baloney. And the Mormon church fits exactly the description in Revelation 2 and 3, which talks about the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. Isn't that what Mormons are? They say they're Jews. They say we're the tribes of Israel, but they're not. However, they are the synagogue of Satan. Now, Mitt Romney assured the Israelis while he was over there, gave a number of speeches publicly, in which he basically said, if I'm elected president, I'll back Israel and we'll go together and we'll blast the Iranians. He's even said, if I'm president, I'm going to indict President Ahmadinejad of Israel, you know, in our criminal courts in America. Which leads me mystified. He's going to have Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, indicted? For what crime? What? He's opposing Israel and the United States hegemony in the Middle East, and that's a crime? I don't think so. Romney could make better use of his time as president indicting George W. Bush and Bill Clinton and putting them behind bars. I think it would make for a safer America if he would do so. Now, when we return in just a minute, I want to talk about the fact that Mitt Romney, being a member of a Judaic cult and a draft dodger who got out of the draft, did not have to fight during the Vietnam War because he was a member of this Judaic cult, Mormonism, who has visited Israel and has promised during the campaign, during one of the debates, that the first thing he's going to do as president to fly to Israel and ask Netanyahu what he can do for Israel. This Zionist freak, this Zionist nut, Mitt Romney, this multi-millionaire made rich by Jewish money and the Jewish organization called Bain Capital, this man, if he becomes president, will see to it that America descends into Leviathan Zionist hell on steroids. Will be a Zionist hell on steroids under Mitt Romney. And there will be a World War III. And the economies of the whole world will collapse. If you think Mitt Romney is a good man, you're wrong. And if you believe that Barack Obama is bad for America, listen to me, friends. If Barack Obama is Beelzebub, then Mitt Romney is his superior, Lucifer himself. Stay with us. We got a lot to talk about when we return, when we discover exactly how America is going to descend into a Zionist hell on steroids if this man, Mitt the Jew Romney, is elected. Hello, folks. Tex Mars here. You know, I did a video this year, produced a video that is so shocking in its implications. It's entitled, Die, America, Die. It's over 80 minutes long, and I believe it could be the most important video I've ever produced. Die, America, Die. Now, I don't want America to die. I want it to live. I want it to thrive. I want it to survive. But nevertheless, with the caliber of leaders that it is proposed that we accept, either the Republican Mitt Romney or the Democrat Barack Obama, Americans are faced with what has been called a Hobson's choice. You know, it's sort of like, would you like to have a heart transplant that doesn't work and you're going to die? Or would you like to have terminal cancer and have a short time to live? Make your choice now. That's sort of the choice we have. That's a Hobson's choice. Bad if you do, bad if you don't. I think on balance, frankly, Mitt Romney's worse. But on the other hand, I'm not encouraging you to vote for either one of these men. And I believe we need to expose them. That's why I'm exposing Mitt Romney today. Of course, if you get my video, Rothschild's Choice, you'll have there the incredible exposure of Barack Obama. But frankly, put a blindfold over your eyes, put them both into a jar, like a couple of dominoes, and shake it real tight, and it'll come out snake eyes every time. In other words, no difference in the two. It's almost as George Wallace, the former governor of Alabama, once said, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two political parties and their candidates. So, I'd like you to get this video. Please, Die America Die. It's $25. Add $5 for shipping and handling. You can get the video, Rothschild's Choice, also for $25. Add $5 for shipping and handling. How to get the video, Rothschild's Choice, or the video, Die America Die, which, believe me, it will awaken your eyes. Just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, and order either Die America Die or Rothschild's Choice. Now, write to us if you'd like to buy these by mail. Again, $25 for each of the videos, $5 shipping and handling, total of $30, either for Rothschild's Choice or Die America Die. Of course, both of them together would be then $60. Now, our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. During the work week, please phone us during the day. We're open from 8 to 5:30 Central Time, and a very friendly receptionist will take your order, and we'll process it very promptly. We don't take long to get out our orders here because we know when you order something, we're not going to make you wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, like a lot of groups do. We're going to get it out to you within just a day or two. Now, phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. That'll work in Canada, too. If you're outside the United States or Canada, then please phone us at area code 512-263-9780. Let's return now to our regular program. We're talking about America descending into a Leviathan Zionist hell on steroids if Mitt Romney is elected. Now, what do you get if Barack Obama's elected? I think you get a Big Brother police state that has a socialist communist orientation. That's what you're going to get. And Obama will rule by executive order. What do you get if Mitt Romney is elected? You get a monopolist cartel, Rothschild, Rockefeller type, Big Brother, police state. In either case, they will continue to promote the police state. You will see your rights completely eaten away, taken away. So, you know, if you end up in a gulag concentration camp, does it matter whether it's run by the capitalist monopolist of Wall Street or whether it's run by the Marxist-Leninist of Barack Obama? Does it really matter? I don't think so. In fact, it might be that Mitt Romney and his boys are more efficient. they're more dangerous. I mean, they'll put out the contracts and give them out to their capitalist cronies so that Halliburton and all the other companies will be running the concentration camps. Obama will give it to his government pals, and they're so stupid and incompetent, you know, there might be some holes in the system. It may not be as tough on us. But who wants to be in a, I don't care to be run into, be put into an efficient or an incompetent, inefficient camp. Do you? Well, that's sort of our choice. Choose which monster you want to live under. The regime of wickedness and evil. Which is your choice, dear friends? Well, I'm going to stay away on election day. I'm just going to stay away. I think I'm going to use my time rather than pray than voting. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray for America, pray for our Constitution, that it won't be seen as a roll of toilet paper, as George W. Bush once said it was. And I'm going to pray that we can escape this demonic duo, Romney and Barack Obama. Now, the interesting thing to me right now is that Barack Obama, for his own reasons, maybe that he's a proud black man who is tired of taking orders from the Jews, seems to be snubbing them. He's telling the Jews, no, the United States will not invade Iran for you. We will not give any more of our blood for you. He's even evidently planning after the election to pull our troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan. Isn't that a shocker? You see, the Jews want us to stay in Afghanistan and Iraq forever. Obama has told them, no, we're going to leave. Obama, of course, 2 years ago, fired his White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel. Do you remember I was the only one to tell you about that? I told you in advance that Rahm Emanuel was on his way out. People didn't believe it, but he left. Now, he was kicked either upstairs or downstairs. Take your pick. He's now the Grand Mayor of Chicago. You say, well, that's a good fat cat job. Well, it's not like he had before. He was basically the de facto President of the United States as White House Chief of Staff. As a chief Jew in the White House, he ran the whole shebang. Now he has just this dirty, filthy, problem-run, bankrupt city he's got to put up with. I like that. He deserves to be there. Well, he doesn't really. He would be better off being a dog catcher, maybe of the city of Tel Aviv, since he's a citizen of Israel. But that's... In any case, Rahm Emanuel got fired. And that was the first hint we had that Barack Obama was not going to do everything the Jews told him to do. Now, his whole 4 years in office, they've been demanding that he invade Iran. He said no. And now a new report is out by 16 U.S. intelligence agencies, the entire intelligence community of the United States, from the CIA to the National Security Agency, and even more. And they're siding with Obama. They're saying that the real threat to national security in America is Israel. Not Iran, but Israel is a national security threat. They say that there are more than 7,500 high-level government bureaucrats and politicians who are in the employ of Israel. They say that there's over 60 front group spying organizations from AIPAC, ADL, all these others that are in the pocket, you might say, of Israel in one way or another. They're warning that Israel needs to be dumped. We're talking about the 16 U.S. intelligence agencies. Meanwhile, Obama has given us a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in Army General Martin Dempsey, a good old Irish American. And Dempsey went over to Israel and told Netanyahu to his face that the United States would not participate in an attack on Iran. And then the Army General, Mr. Dempsey, General Dempsey, courageously told Ahmadinejad over in Iran that as long as Iran did not attack any American ship or submarine or any of our military personnel or our facilities in the Middle East or in the Persian Gulf, as long as Iran did not attack the United States, we won't attack Iran. Well, I like that. Now, Obama recently was on 60 Minutes and he was interviewed. And everywhere he goes, furious, angry, boiling mad Jews in their Yiddish accent come up to him or holler out and heckle him and say, Mr. President, what about Israel? Can you imagine? Have you ever heard of a campaign in which either the Republican or Democrat candidate was heckled by somebody who said, Mr. President, what about Uruguay? What about Sweden? What about Norway? What about, you know, South Africa? What about Ireland? No, it's only the Jews in America and the Zionists. They have no love for America. They're using America. They're parasites taking our money, taking our very souls, bringing a pop culture that is the most wickedly evil in the history of mankind to America with their Hollywood. They're the ones that run the Wall Street banks that have bankrupted this country. Now listen to me. Obama was down before a group down in Florida, and up from the audience sprang a man, a Jewish oldster, who hollered out, what about Israel? Well, you know what? Obama decided to answer him. He went on 60 Minutes, and the host asked him, what about Israel? Can you believe that? In the midst of a campaign for president, with all the problems we've got in America, these idiots on 60 Minutes and these Jewish hecklers ask our president, what about Israel? Well, let me tell you what Obama said. He said something wonderful. I'm going to give the man credit. I've never heard of such a thing. Not in all of my life and friends. I'm not a young chicken. I know I'm, you know, handsome and I look 30, but I'm not 30. Jerry's over there. He's laughing at me. Jerry, don't laugh at me when I say something. This is radio. They don't see how my wrinkles and my gray hair. Ah, they probably do. They got my picture. They know. They know what Tex Morris is. Okay. But I'm still not a bad looking guy, am I? Yeah, Jerry, he's shaking his head, yes. Okay. I agree with Leslie about you, Jerry. I agree with those neighbors about that red barn. No, I really don't. Okay. Folks, listen to me. Here's what he told the host of 60 Minutes, the interviewer. He said, I am president of the United States. I am president of the United States, and I represent the people of America. All the people. Wow. He says, I'm not president of Israel. In other words, let Netanyahu worry about Israel. I'm worried about American people. Well, talk about some freshness. I feel like going out for a frosty root beer, hearing that from a president for the first time. Mitt Romney says, as soon as I'm elected president, I'm going to fly to Israel and see Netanyahu and say, Mr. Prime Minister, what can I do as president for Israel? Obama's asked, what about Israel? He says, I'm not president of Israel. I'm president of America. I represent Americans. Thank God. We got a president that said no to Israel. That's incredible. Then they said to him, but what about Netanyahu complaining about you and others that you won't agree to them attacking Iran and all that? And you know what he said? I've heard all the noise from Israel. I've heard all the noise from Israel, but I'm president of the United States. The noise from Israel, I love it. And then they said, but isn't Israel important? You know, the most, you know, it's like, you know, according to Barbara Walters and all the people at 60 Minutes and all these news programs, Israel's the only country that's important in the world. He said, well, it is one of our allies in the Middle East. Whoa! It's one of our most important allies. But no longer is it the most important. Now, friends, these 16 U.S. intelligence agencies and General Dempsey say Israel actually is an enemy of the United States. They've been doing false flags. They've got their spies here. They've been working horrible deeds on Americans. They're a plague, in other words, on America. And because of them, 54 Muslim nations around the world hate and despise us. Do you realize before 1948, we were beloved around the world, especially in the Middle East? We were the paragon of wonder and greatness. Every Muslim country in the Middle East and around the world said America is the one that we treasure the most. America is the one. Did you know that Christian churches prospered throughout the Middle East before 1948? But once we started favoring Israel, guess what? Once we started bombing and killing and strafing and stealing the oil of the Middle Easterners so that there could be a greater Israel in the Middle East. Guess what? Now listen, I think Obama learned something from Ronald Reagan. He did. Let me tell you about Ronald Reagan. All of his advisors wanted Ronald Reagan to send troops into the Middle East. And he sent a small contingent of Marines to Lebanon to keep the peace. They told him, we need our Marines. We need our folks on the ground there, our military people. And Reagan listened to him, but not very much. He wasn't sure. So he sent a small contingent, just a few hundred Marines. And then came about the horrible incident in which 282 of our Marines in one of their barracks in Lebanon were killed by a car bomb. And as it turns out, we know now, our intelligence tells us that Israel knew that truck with a bomb was going to be smashing into that barracks. They knew in advance and they let it happen. And then the Jews and the Israeli ambassador and all the others and his advisors ran to President Reagan and said, see there, a Muslim terrorist has killed 282 of our Marines in their barracks in Lebanon. Now we've got to send thousands of Marines over. Now we've got to send all of our military over there and fight the Muslims. You know what Ronald Reagan said to his advisors? He said, I listened to you once before. You told me there would be peace in the Middle East if I sent a small number of Marines. I did, and now they're all dead. Never again. That's not our war. I'm president of the United States, not Israel. And he brought all the troops home. They were so angry at him. Well, you and I know what happened. It wasn't long after that until there was an assassination attempt on his life. That's right. It was only after that, after he brought the troops home from the Middle East. There were not going to be any Iraq wars. There were not going to be any Afghanistans. There was not going to be all these lies about chemical, biological, weapons of mass destruction, gonna have mushroom clouds all over American cities by that filthy mouth liar Condi Rice and George W. Bush. No, none of that stuff. Ronald Reagan wouldn't hear of it. And all of his advisors, including George Bush Sr., who was vice president at the time, pleaded with him to send troops, more troops to die. And Reagan says, no, I'm not gonna do it. Do you realize he was president for 8 years and we had no war? Do you realize there were no wars? 8 years? But after he left office, all hell broke out because the Jews began to get their way. They began to blackmail the Monica Lewinsky thing and all these things, blackmail Bill Clinton. And then, of course, Dick Cheney was in their back pocket. He's a sexually pervert monster, and so they knew about all that, and they had the pictures to prove it, etc. George W. Bush, a cocaine-snorting bisexual. They knew about that. If they got something on you, friends, they'll use it against you. They had to do whatever the Jews told them to do. Now, Mitt Romney has been raised from the time he was a young boy to be part of a Judaic cult. And the Judaic cult of Mormonism has prospered. Bloomberg Businessweek magazine recently had an exclusive issue. Inside the Mormon Empire. Are the Mormons the richest church in the world? Hallelujah! That's right on the front cover. Has Jesus there mockingly saying, and thou shalt build a shopping mall. Thou shalt own stock in Burger King. And you will open up a Polynesian theme park in Hawaii that shall be tax exempt, et cetera, et cetera. And of course they own all these hotel chains. I mean, this is one of the richest churches in the world. They and the Jews work together. And by the way, let me give you a little secret, friends. These two young men that are Mormon missionaries that are sent out two by two around the world. Remember, Mitt Romney was one of them. That's how he got a fight in the Vietnam War. He was a draft dodger. He told the draft board, I can't go. I'm a Mormon. I'm going to be a missionary. Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. That's how they get out of military service. Folks, listen, I was an Air Force officer. I retired after two decades. The number of Mormons that I met in the military, I can't even count on my two hands. I went all over the world, Asia, Europe, United States, serving in various military organizations, Army and Air Force. I met almost no Jews, no Mormons. And everybody tells me, oh, they're so patriotic. Yeah, Mitt Romney was patriotic. just like Bill Clinton, a draft dodger. That's how I got. I'm a missionary, man. I can't go in and fight in the army. Bill Clinton fled to Britain. I'm a Rhodes Scholar. I'm going to be going to Oxford University. He got there and never completed one semester at Oxford. But he did show up at all the anti-war demonstrations. He and his beard. Mitt Romney is a draft dodging. Listen, when the guy says, I made all my money myself, shut up. Let me tell you what really happened. When he graduated from Harvard, thanks to his dad, next door, at the same time, Netanyahu, whose father was a big military intelligence hotshot in Israel and very, very rich as well, was graduating from MIT, also in Boston. And their Masonic brothers put them together, and they went to work at a group called Boston Consultancy. Boston Consultancy. I know all about Boston Consultancy. And then from that, Bain Capital was begun. So they worked side by side. Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, and Mitt Romney were sidekicks at the same organization, the Boston Consultancy. The Boston Consultancy now has branches around the world, and it's run, I believe, from Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, New York, and London, and of course, Boston. That's, I mean, folks, it's a setup from the beginning. Don't think he made money on his own. I doubt if the man could run a McDonald's hamburger place. In fact, I think you need more skills than Mitt Romney's got to run a McDonald's. I don't think he could run a little entrepreneurial outfit in Fargo, you know, in the Dakotas. But his father was super rich. His grandfather, of course, was a polygamist down in Mexico. And when the Mexicans got wind of who the Mormons really were, they had the Mormons there, including Mitt Romney's grandfather and father, had to flee. When they found out about this polygamist community down in Mexico, the Mexican Christians didn't like it. Kicked them out of the country. They took their money and their wives and everything and fled up to Salt Lake City in Detroit. Now, what about the Mormon Church? I wrote about it in my book, New Age Cults and Religions. You know, U.S. President James Garfield, a long time ago, campaigned against what he called Mormon infamy. Oh, they knew it back in the 1800s. His successor, President Chester Arthur, called Mormonism, quote, an evil, calling out loudly for reform. He said the black outrage of Mormonism, this is a direct quote from President Arthur of the United States, the black outrage of Mormonism cannot continue unmolested many years longer. The people are awakening and crying out for justice against it. He says, when it is hurled to ruin, this is the President of the United States talking, when it is hurled to ruin, he's talking about the Mormon Church, there will fall the most monstrous structure of fraud and infamy cemented by the blood of sacrifice ever reared in the history of the world, and a creed of lust that transforms a vast stretch of our continent into a community of prostitution, and physical and mental debasement will become the byword for iniquity. He said, Mormonism is a triumphant monument to wickedness. Folks, read about the Mountain Meadows Massacre, the wagon train that was attacked by Mormons and all their gold taken and all of their goods, and men, women, and children slain at the order of Brigham Young there in Utah. I mean, you know about these Mormon polygamous cults. That's what was going on there in Utah. And today in the United States Senate, there is a statue they've erected. The state of Utah erected a statue of this polygamous devil, Brigham Young. They've even named a university for him. And he was a mass murderer, a psychopath. Do you think Mitt Romney's going to do any better? He's already told the Jews in Israel, as soon as I'm elected, I'll do whatever Israel wants and go around killing all these Muslims. And he says the hand of providence is behind Israel. He gave a speech saying, the hand of providence? No, it's the Israeli hands in Americans' back pocket stealing all of our money. Did you know that the head, the general in charge of the Israeli Defense Forces, their entire military, recently gave a speech in which he admitted that over the last 3 years alone, the U.S. taxpayers have paid more money for Israel's defense forces than have Israeli taxpayers. And I'm telling you, friends, the fix is in with our Federal Reserve. Just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Ben Bernanke, who's Jewish, who's in their pockets, was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. That's the watering hole for the big muckety mucks, the bankers of the world. And I did a little research, and there was a picture that I found online. Ben Bernanke walking to the big room where he was to give his big keynote speech. And who was walking side by side with him? The head of the Bank of Israel. Now, Israel only has 7.5 million people. But the head of the Bank of Israel was so important that he walked side by side. Just the two of them together. Ben Bernanke and the head of the Bank of Israel. They're in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And at that meeting, Ben Bernanke said, I'm going to start quantitative easing 3. And the Fed Reserve is going to start printing $40 billion a month and making it available for mortgage bonds. Let me translate that to you. We're going to print $40 billion more a month indefinitely for years to come, and it will go in the coffers, in the vaults of the Israeli and Jewish-run banks throughout the world. $40 billion printed every month, maybe for our entire lives, from our Fed Reserve, going to the Bank of Israel and all these other banks overseas. And, of course, we have to count the American banks that are tied in with them, the Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, and all the others. And Mitt Romney is right there with them. That's why most of his money is in offshore accounts in the Bahamas and Aruba and all these other countries. Folks, remember this. There's only one country in the Middle East today that has nuclear weapons, and it's not Iran, it's Israel. And they are not a signatory party to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. They lie and say they don't have nuclear weapons, but they do. Iran is not our enemy. Israel is. And Mitt Romney is part of a Judaic cult. And if he is elected president, I promise you, your constitutional rights will be eroded. There will be a consumption sales tax on everything that's bought and sold, even at the manufacturing and wholesale levels. I promise you, you will probably lose your pension funds. The world will collapse its economies when Iran is attacked by the United States and Israel, and the price of oil goes up to $250 to $300 a barrel. Get ready. We will descend into a Leviathan Zionist hell. We will be better off to have the communist socialist Obama, who now is beginning to say no to the Jews, because Romney is part of the Jewish structure, and he will always say yes, and therein lies the danger. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.